Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jewish Trans Brazil, Identity, Activism, and Music. My name is Jonathan Brandman, and it's my pleasure to welcome you. Thank you to our speakers, Azucena Azucena and Lilith Esther Grove, to our interpreter, Simone Harmeth de Lemos, and to our captioner, Diana Jacquet. Thank you also to Deborah Starr and Ayla Klein for your help in planning this event, and to our co-sponsors, the Feminist Gender and Sexuality Studies Program, the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Studies Program, the Latin American Studies Program, and the Departments of Comparative Literature, English, Near Eastern Studies, and Romance Studies. I'll begin by sharing our speakers' bios and then posing questions to Azucena and Lilith. Our interpreter will translate each question into Portuguese, and Lilith will reply in English, and Azucena will reply in Portuguese, with Simone translating her answers. Audience members, you can share questions in the Q&A box, and we will answer some of those questions at the end. So now for bios. Azucena Azucena is a singer and composer of the group As Bahias, with 4 released albums, 2 Brazilian Music Awards, and 1 Latin Grammy nomination. She currently directs a column of Vogue magazine, and in 2011, she undertook her studies on gender and sexuality at the College of History of the University of Sao Paulo. Lilith Esther Grove is a Jewish anthropologist and academic, originally from California, now living in Sao Paulo, Brazil. She studies the intersections of sexuality, gender, and Judaism with a focus on inclusion and culture. Her research has focused on Brazil, but she also looks holistically at the Jewish diaspora to envision acceptance of LGBTQI people in Jewish communities around the world. And now for questions. First, in the US, the word transgender describes someone whose gender identity does not match the gender they were assigned at birth. In Brazil, many people also use the word travesti. What is the difference between transgender and travesti identities? Oh, and Simone, please unmute.
Thank you. I knew I was going to do this. Nos Estados Unidos, a palavra transgênero também é um sinônimo de travesti. E nos Estados Unidos, transgênero é a palavra dada à pessoa que não tem o gênero que foi associado quando nasceu. Mas no Brasil também se usa a palavra travesti. E qual é a relação desses dois termos?
The idea of travesti is a term that's very localized in Brazil. There are travestis around the world, particularly from a migration of travestis from Brazil to other parts of Italy, Europe in general. There's also a term travesti in other Latin American countries, though it's not exactly the same. First off, it's kind of like a third gender. It can be considered a third gender by certain people. Other folks can consider it a socioeconomic class related to the experience of being trans, particularly trans women. It's the simplest definition could be someone who was born in a designated male body, designated masculine body, that transitions or performs a gender identity that's more associated with femininity, or there are travestis that also identify as women, and travestis that are like, I am a travesti, I'm not a woman. So it's a complex identity. And I think something, when we think about trans came from the north. Trans came from the northern hemisphere and was adopted here as a catch-all term because there was travesti and transsexual. And so when we think of this differentiation and then we see a trans is a recent identity that's been adapted. And people oftentimes, for example, I call myself mulher trans e travesti, a trans woman travesti, to also reclaim this term, which is so heavily associated with a lower socioeconomic class, prostitution, and I'm trying to find the right word in English, bagunceira, and just being problematic and being the margin of society in regular society, right? And so, and Azucena, I think, has some stuff that another Sena.
Sua vez, Azu.
É importante dizer que 90% das mulheres trans no Brasil, elas vão para a prostituição de forma compulsória.
So, Asu says it's important to say that 90% of the trans women in Brazil, they go they end up in compulsory prostitution.
Esses dois termos, transgeneridade, transgênero e travesti, eles funcionaram muito tempo para distinguir uma classe da outra, já que travesti é uma associação direta com a prostituição.
So the two terms, transgender and travesti, were for the longest time used to make the difference between the trans women who were prostitutes and the higher class transgender women.
Hoje, o movimento transgênero, a comunidade trans, ela faz questão de se reapropriar do conceito de travesti e ele se torna uma autodeclaração política de todas as mulheres trans.
But nowadays in Brazil, the trans population makes it express to reappropriate, to take the term again, travesti, so that you can refer to a trans woman as a travesti or a transgênero, transgender, so that you make everyone equal, both the transgender women who are in prostitution and everyone else in the community. So it's a term, both terms are used together so that you resort to equality.
Cool, thank you. Next question. What challenges do transgender and travesti people face in Brazil in general, and specifically within Brazilian Jewish communities?
So, que desafios as pessoas transgênero vivenciam no Brasil em geral, e especificamente dentro da comunidade judaica brasileira? Quais são esses desafios?
So I can talk a little bit about my experience. I'm not from Brazil exactly. Well, I'm not from Brazil. I live in Brazil, but I've been living here for 4 years. I've done my transition here as well. I don't know why, I just ended up doing that. So I can speak from a first-hand experience, obviously with the intersections of a lot of privileges that I do carry. Being trans in Brazil is a very tough, very problem. Being trans in the world is very problematic and very tough. And particularly in Brazil, and particularly being a trans woman travesti, we deal with so much violence and so much aggression on a day-to-day basis. And especially when you consider travestis and trans women that are not able to hold jobs because they won't get hired. When you think about people who are on the streets getting attacked in a lot of places, in Sao Paulo, it's a very different scenario than a lot of other parts of Brazil. So in Sao Paulo, there's a lot of trans women travestis that are able to have normal lives, right? What we consider normal, but being able to participate in society, earn money, and also maintain some semblance of having a life, right? And in other parts of the country, and even in Sao Paulo itself, like Azucena said, there's really an emphasis and really a compulsory prostitution that's put onto us. Even if you're not looking for it, it arrives at you. You know, I've been propositioned for sex work numerous times, and I'm not in those spaces procuring that. But it's just because the assumption of me being a trans woman, it arrives to you. So I think in terms of the Brazilian travesti trans community, there's a really big paradox that we have to deal with, that we have progressive laws that allow us to change our names, that allow us to use names that we use without having them legally changed. There's quotas in schools, like in order for students to get access, or trans students to get access, right? Even though there's a lot of pushback, we walk down the street and we see billboards with trans models. We have a famous trans singer with us. So there's these contradictions that we see. But the majority of the trans population is really they have to resort to a very marginalized existence. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges is getting that space in order to hold jobs that allow you financial security, in order to be able to walk down the street without getting yelled at, without getting attacked. And when we think about the Jewish community, we look at a community that's very closed off. I don't consider myself part of the Brazilian Jewish community. I consider myself part just because Azucena kind of brought me in. And even though I studied that, the community, I don't see myself as necessarily frequenting these spaces. But when you think about society, when you think about the Jewish community in Brazil being a very high upper middle class, upper class space that segregates itself from a lot of the other parts of society. And then you think about this body, this trans body, this travesti body that is so associated with lower class prostitution, with all of these things that are bad. Our spaces, we don't have that space. We're not given that space. We have to fight for that space. Only now do I see being able to be called to these talks, being able to go to synagogue. And this is a very recent thing. But Azucena can definitely explain a little bit more about her experience because she grew up here.
Ok, Azu, então você explica um pouquinho. Se você quiser, eu repito a pergunta.
É sobre os desafios, né? Os desafios. É, eu começaria dizendo que temos um desafio cultural muito grande e, portanto, ele é político e educacional.
So, Azucena says that one of the biggest challenges is the cultural challenge. And with it, it's political and educational.
É, a gente teve 15 anos, mais ou menos, de um governo progressista no Brasil, que foi um governo de centro-esquerda que propiciou a auto-organização dos movimentos sociais, inclusive os movimentos LGBT, movimento negro e movimento feminista.
During 15 years, we have a very progressive government in Brazil, which allowed us to organize social movements such as the LGBTQ movement, the African descendant movement.
Mas não foi suficiente para criar uma legislação, não foi suficiente para fomentar uma educação a respeito do que é identidade de gênero, a respeito do que é sexualidade. É, os movimentos ficaram mais organizados, mas aí no Brasil estamos vivendo uma ascensão de extrema-direita que é contra tudo o que a gente conquistou de direito civil e político.
But these 15 years were not enough for policies and educational policies to be created to better understand gender and sexuality and identities. And now we see a rise of the extreme right in Brazil and a fight from the extreme right to deny us of everything that we fought for and that we got together these past 15 years. So we see it back.
Okay. A gente conquistou muito pouco, e o que a gente conquistou a gente tem sofrido ataques de todos os lados, o movimento LGBT, com as atuais políticas governamentais do governo Bolsonaro. Então, o movimento LGBT no Brasil é claramente, e a comunidade trans é uma das mais perseguidas, e...
So we conquered very little in this time and space, and we now see very aggressive prosecution from the far-right government in Brazil, and day-to-day attacks and aggressions towards the LGBTQ community. And wants to say that the community in Brazil who is being attacked and towards whom aggression are being the most widespread are the LGBTQ communities.
A boa notícia é que estamos organizados. Então, a gente tem hoje no Brasil um movimento cultural de artistas, de cantores extremamente populares, de pop stars populares, que podem fazer frente de políticos LGBTs, que fazem frente aos ataques que nós sofremos. Então, infelizmente, a gente tem uma organização hoje grande em todo o país.
The good news is that there's a lot of organization in the LGBTQ communities around the country nowadays, which counts with celebrities and pop stars and politicians who are part of the community and are fighting against these new attitudes brought by the far-right government.
Eu diria que a comunidade judaica, a respeito da comunidade judaica, ela é uma parte da população brasileira, e como parte da população brasileira, ela é um espelho da sociedade, ela reflete o que a sociedade é. Então, como a sociedade brasileira é conservadora, consequentemente, a comunidade, grande parte da comunidade judaica brasileira também é conservadora e por muito tempo manteve entraves para a entrada de pessoas trans nas sinagogas ou nas instituições judaicas.
With respect to the Jewish community in Brazil, the Jewish community is a mirror of what Brazilian community at large, Brazilian society at large is. And as such, because Brazilian society is very conservative, so is the Jewish community. And for the longest time, the Jewish community even hindered the entrance of LGBTQ or of transgender people into the synagogues in Brazil.
Só a partir do ano passado, apenas a partir do ano passado, a comunidade judaica conseguiu, no Brasil, fomentar políticas institucionais e culturais com a temática LGBT. Apenas no ano passado. Então, é muito recente e nós somos hoje pioneiras dentro desse movimento.
It was only last year that the Jewish community in Brazil could actually change and create new policies, institutional policies, which would allow the inclusion of LGBTQ communities into the Jewish communities. And as of today, so this is only last year, and as of today, they're actually pioneers in this sense.
Thank you. So now I'm going to ask the opposite question. What challenges do Jewish Brazilians face in general, and specifically within the LGBTQ community?
Agora a pergunta é um pouquinho diferente. Que desafios enfrentam os judeus no Brasil em geral, e especificamente os judeus dentro das comunidades LGBTQ?
So I think that when we look at the Jewish community in Brazil, we see a very privileged population in majority. Obviously, speaking in stereotypes, I avoid saying that, putting that stereotype that Jews are rich, right? Because I think that's a very well established stereotype around the world. And it's like preguiça. It's like, we don't only have that experience. However, when we look at, I was reading a study a while ago when I was doing my dissertation by Monica Grin, and we looked at the population, the Jewish population in Brazil, and statistically, they have a very similar, I don't know if this is the correct term, GDP, they have a very similar earning capacity, college rate and literacy rate and life expectancy as some Nordic countries. And when we look at Brazil in general, we see a population that's very divided, right? We see a population that's extremely segregated in terms of race, in terms of class, in terms of the word scholarity, in terms of schooling. Sorry, I'm not being able to speak English tonight, everyone, even though it's my first language. And we see a population that historically has an interesting relationship with the whitening of Brazil. And Azucena can definitely talk more about this when she gives her position. But the history of Jews in Brazil is one of being brought in by the Brazilian government to whiten the population as well, because the Jews were the immigrants that nobody wanted, right? Historically, Jews were those immigrants. And so when we think about Jews being white enough, particularly from Europe, Nayad Ashkenazim, coming into Europe or coming into Brazil because they weren't being accepted into the US, we see a history of a tight-knit community being formed. And I think some of the difficulties that you might find, that Jewish Brazilians might find in terms of anti-Semitism, there is a strong anti-Semitism that does exist. I, in my research and my personal experiences, have not seen that, right? I haven't experienced that. I haven't seen people who have said, oh, I got beat up because I was Jewish, right? Different from the States, where I got attacked in a bar personally because I was Jewish, right? Using a kippah. So it's a different experience in that sense. But there are reports, there are stories that people have told me of personal experiences where these types of anti-Semitisms, right, that might not arrive at a physical violence, but stereotypes, laughingstocks, giving these types of microaggressions, right? And then we think about the Jewish community, or the LGBT community and the politics that might be connected with Israel and Palestine and anti-Zionism, there's a very classic conflation with being Jewish and being Zionist, right? So there's not sometimes space, right? I was giving a talk one time for a Catholic group and they brought up Israel. And I personally, I am anti-Zionist. I don't talk about Israel that much because I'm a Jew of the diaspora and I don't have a position different from anyone else who's living in this world about Israel. That's my personal position. And I think that in this sense, there are those stereotypes that can be put in and there are those exclusions that can be made. But at the same time, it's complicated to say that Jews are suffering in that sense, right? But that's just my personal perception of it.
Eu acho que a história do antissemitismo moderno, ela se confunde com o início do que a gente conhece por Brasil. Então, desde o princípio, a gente sabe que a Inquisição Portuguesa, ela perseguiu os judeus e os cristãos novos, eles foram obrigados ou a sair de Portugal ou a se converterem, e a rota desses cristãos novos eram principalmente as Américas, e o Brasil foi quem recebeu grande parte desses cristãos novos. Então, o antissemitismo no Brasil, ele vem de sua gênese.
So I think that the modern antisemitism intertwines with the creation of Brazil itself. It was during the Inquisition that many Jewish peoples were expelled from Portugal and its domains, and the way, the path for these Jewish was to come to the Americas, and with that, to come to Brazil. So I think that the antisemitism in Brazil came to be with Brazil, with early Brazil.
A língua, ela guardou uma cicatriz, e essa cicatriz é um verbo que se chama judiar, que é um verbo relacionado à perversidade. Ou seja, quando você judia de alguém, você está maltratando alguém. E judiar é relativo a judeu. E é fazer mal como um judeu faz. Ser perverso como um judeu.
So the language even kept a scar from this early anti-Semitism, which is in the verb judiar, which means to hurt someone physically or mentally. Repeatedly, as almost as if it's torture. And the meaning of this verb comes from being Jewish and treating people in a bad way.
Eu acho tá na gênese, eu acho que do Brasil o antissemitismo e ainda ele existe com caráter estereotipador do que é ser judeu.
So anti-Semitism is actually in the genesis of Brazil, and it exists within a character that is, I can't find the word. Asu, can you repeat the last part of
stereotipo,
this?
Stereotipo.
It comes with a stereotype of what it means to be Jewish. I apologize for that.
O desafio da comunidade judaica LGBT é tirar o estereótipo de um judeu conservador e demonstrar uma pluralidade de uma comunidade judaica. Ou seja, a comunidade judaica no Brasil ela é plural como o Brasil é plural. Ela tem gays, ela tem pessoas trans, ela tem pessoas negras, ela tem sfaradim, tem ashkenazim, tem pessoas de diversos espectros políticos. Então, a gente precisa tirar a imagem de um judeu único. E o nosso desafio como comunidade é diversificar o olhar sobre nós.
So, the challenge that the LGBTQ Jewish community faces in Brazil is to change this stereotype, the stereotype that there's only one type of Jewish person. The Jewish community is very plural, the same way Brazilian society is plural. So there are Jewish trans women, there are Jewish transgender, there are Jewish gay, there are Black Jewish, and there are all types of Jewish. And this is the challenge that we have, is to make everyone see that there is more than one type of Jewish person. We are a spectrum, as is Brazilian society.
Cool, thank you. So next question, we've discussed many of the challenges facing LGBTQ Jewish people. How are each of you addressing these challenges in your activism, art, and music?
Então, já discutimos muitos dos desafios que vocês enfrentam, que as pessoas LGBTQ enfrentam em geral e dentro da comunidade judaica. Como é que vocês, cada uma de vocês, aborda ou trata esses desafios dentro do seu ativismo, da sua música, da sua arte?
Well, since I'm not a musician, I can definitely talk about my activism, right? Maybe I'll sing for you all afterwards. So it's interesting. Me being Jewish is not a huge part of my activism. Me being Jewish was a huge part of my activism, including I have a friend here that we were very much part, assisting us tonight, who we were very much part of this Jewish activism and learning on how our Jewish identity informs it. When I came to Brazil and when I transitioned, aside from my research, which had led me to meet a lot of Jews and then lose contact with these Jews because I transitioned and didn't work out in that sense, but my identity as a trans woman, as a travesti, was so much stronger. And this kind of like shows me how identities can overshadow other identities. It was so much stronger. It was so much seen more, right? Me being Jewish was not questioned. Like first I was a United States person from the United States. Then I was a travesti. And so like, there's all these layers that people see that inform my activism in a different way. Currently, I am working with Azucena. She invited me to participate in this group that we're part of called Hineni, in which we're able to actually have this activism. We're actually able to create spaces and support other Jews to have their right to go into Jewish spaces, right? And I guess what I think when I do interact with Jewish spaces, when I do interact with people, we're gonna take this specific to Jewish activism. I like to remind people exactly what Azucena said, in the sense that there's a lot of plurality. Like there are Black Jews, there are Jews with disabilities, there are trans Jews, there are non-binary Jews, there are Jews who are converted. There's all types of Jews, and showing that to people, because I tell people I'm Jewish and they're like, where's your kippah? Because that image of a Jew is so strongly informed. And then when we go to the Jewish community, we got to remind the Jewish community, there are Black Jews, there are trans Jews, there are gay Jews. So that informs a lot of it. But I think that in terms of like the activism that I live, in terms of like the travesti community, trying to my day-to-day activism that I try to participate in, try to live, me being Jewish does inform it, because I am Jewish, and therefore that is what informs me in my life in a lot of ways. But yeah, and I think that's the most important part. Azucena said it very well, and pluralities, that we are all types of Jews. It's not just the Orthodox Jews in Higienopolis, the part of the city that has a strong Jewish community. It's the Jews, all types of Jews, so.
Eu tenho muito orgulho de ser judia e de ser trans. E quando eu apaziguei que essas identidades em mim e percebi que elas poderiam coexistir, eu tomei isso como algo político para minha vida.
I am very proud to be trans and to be Jewish. And when I accepted, I made peace with the fact that I could be both. I learned this to be, I politicized this to my life.
E aí eu passei a usar a influência que eu tenho no meio artístico, na crítica, na política, para criar novas formas de olhar acerca do que é ser judeu.
So I started using the influence that I have in the art world, in the politics world, in the critics, within the critics, to try and make clear what this identity, what this community is.
Bem, e na comunidade judaica eu tenho lutado para aumentar a nossa dignidade e o nosso espaço nos meios institucionais e religiosos. Porque quando você é uma pessoa LGBT no Brasil, principalmente trans, a nossa religiosidade é sequestrada pelos religiosos entenderem que o nosso caráter é um caráter pecaminoso por si mesmo, por natureza.
And within the Jewish community, I have been fighting to have our trans people, transgender people, to be accepted as also having the right to be religious. Because within the Jewish community and many other religious communities, our identity, our trans identity, our gender identity is seen as being a sinful identity. So I have been fighting to find us more space, for more space within the religion.
Hoje eu participo de três importantes grupos na comunidade judaica do Brasil, que é um deles é o Move 35, que é um grupo que escolheu estudar o Talmud e a Torá e formar jovens LGBTs judeus que conheçam a raiz de sua identidade.
So I am today I am part of three different groups within the Jewish community in Brazil, one of them being the Move 35, which is a group who chose to study the Torah and the Talmud to prepare young people, Jewish in Brazil, to understand this identity.
Especificamente esse grupo é um grupo que ele é vinculado à maior instituição religiosa da América Latina, a maior, que é a CIP, a Congregação Israelita Paulista. Então, conseguimos finalmente uma legitimidade de um espaço religioso respeitado.
This particular group is associated with one of the biggest, largest Jewish groups in Brazil. So through it, we finally got a legitimate space within the religion.
Thank you. So my next question, the Jewish community in Sao Paulo is mainly Ashkenazi. So how does Jewish transgender identity intersect with Mizrahi and Sephardi identity?
So a comunidade judaica no Brasil, em São Paulo, é aparentemente, na sua maioria, Ashkenazi. Então, como é que os judeus Mizrahi e Sephardi interagem com essa comunidade Ashkenazi?
É interessante que o judeu Ashkenazi, ele passou por uma askalah, que é o que a gente chama de iluminismo judaico, principalmente durante o século XIX, que propiciou aos Ashkenazim se dividirem entre reformistas, liberais e ortodoxos. Os judeus Faradim e Mizrahim não passaram por uma askalah. Então, a gente não diferenciou muito bem o que é ortodoxia, o que é reformismo e o que é liberalismo judaico. Isso tornou os judeus Faradim e Mizrahim um pouco mais conservadores.
So, it's interesting because the Ashkenazim Jewish went through what we call an Ashkal, or the Jewish Illuminism, which allowed them to become reformists and liberals, and some to stay orthodox. But the other Jewish communities in Brazil did not undergo this askal. So what happened is that these communities became more conservative and did not have access to this reformist and more liberal ideas.
E no Brasil, a comunidade Sfaradi, ela é muito elitizada. São principalmente formadas por judeus que vieram do Oriente Médio e já eram enriquecidos. Então, ela é uma comunidade muito mais fechada e, por isso, muito mais tradicional. Mas, ainda bem que a gente tem as comunidades liberais e reformistas que estão recebendo muito bem judeus sem deslegitimar um ou outro por ser, eu acho que, nazi ou sfardi. Mas a comunidade mais poderosa economicamente é sfardi, mizrahi, e mais fechada e conservadora também.
So the Sephardim community is the most elitist and closed one in Brazil, because these were people who came from already very wealthy communities in their original countries. So we're thankful to be exposed to these other communities, which are more liberal and more open, so that they can inform these Sephardim and Mizrahi communities. But the Sephardim and the Mizrahim themselves are more closed and more traditional, more conservative.
Thank you. Lilith, do you want to add anything as well?
I'm not Mizrahim. I'm Ashkenazim. I'm an Ashki girl. But it is interesting thinking about these divisions that do occur. I guess if I can talk for a minute about like the racialization and these identities related to that, because I think that's something interesting to bring up as a perspective for folks who are in the US and thinking about Brazil. When I first moved to Brazil, it was very confusing, like who's white, who's not white, what's these categorizations that exist, you know? So there's a dynamic that there is a differentiation between, because in the States there's a differentiation of like who is Sephardim, who is Mizrahim as not white, and then Ashkenazi as white. Not all Ashkenazi are white, of course. And so these categorizations become more fuzzy when we think about in Brazil. Azucena thought I was Mizrahim at first. I was like, Azucena, and also Mizrahim. And I had to keep reminding her I'm not, because of these ideas of what a Jew looks like, right? Which is a whole nother issue. So I think that in just terms of the groups and the differentiations is a lot more based on like on tradition and on the subjects that Asu talked about in terms of what do they follow, what communities do they inhabit, rather than the bodies that they inhabit, which is a little different, I think, in the States when we think about these identities as being very tied to a racialization.
Okay, so if I can ask a follow-up question, it sounds like you're saying that in the US, Ashkenazi, Mizrahi, and Sephardi Jews are often viewed differently in racial terms, like particularly depending on how you look, people may perceive you as white or non-white, whereas in Brazil, it sounds like you're saying that usually all of these groups are perceived as white, and therefore the main difference is religious custom or like social networks of communities. Am I understanding correctly?
Yes, for the most part. I mean, of course, when we talk about these things, it's impossible to say all Jews are like this, right? Because there's no such thing as, there are Mizrahim Jews who would be considered white, there are Sephardi Jews. But I think from my experiences and from my understandings, the racialization is very different in Brazil, right? And so we think about the proximity to Blackness as being the key factor, right? And so there are people, for example, here in Brazil that are considered white, that in the States would not be considered white due to a series of factors as well. So I think just thinking about it in more open terms of community traditions, I think is a helpful way to also try to frame these differences that we see.
Cool, thank you. So next question. Historically in Europe, there was a stereotype of Jewish women called the beautiful Jewess that depicted Jewish women as kind of exotic and sexy, but in a dirty way. And I'm curious, how does this historical stereotype shape Brazilian society or the experiences of Jewish transgender Brazilian women?
So a pergunta é historicamente na Europa existia esse conceito de que a mulher judia era bonita, mas bonita de uma maneira suja, de uma maneira baixa. E então isso teve alguma influência em como o judaísmo, a mulher judia é vista no Brasil e em como, em consequência, a mulher trans ou o transgênero é visto no Brasil sendo judaico?
Eu acho que a imagem esse judeu imaginário criado pela Europa veio inevitavelmente com o antissemitismo europeu. Eu não percebo muito bem ainda, é muito difuso para mim o que é um preconceito por eu ser judia ou por eu ser trans, como eu guardo em meu corpo essas duas identidades. Eu ainda estou compreendendo o que significa ser uma mulher trans judia na medida que eu manifesto, inclusive, ser judeu não é como ser negro, que você tem um tom de pele e tem um fenótipo específico. Então, é uma autodeclaração social também. E, então, esse preconceito, ele existe uma espécie de judaísmo imaginário no Brasil, existe uma espécie de Israel imaginária no Brasil, e ainda é difuso entender se eu sofro mais preconceito por ser uma judia trans.
I think that this imaginary, this image that was brought, this image of what a Jewish person is that was brought from Europe, certainly informs what happens in Brazil. But I think that me being both Jewish and transgender, it's still very unclear to me what is harder. Do I get more problems because I am Jewish, or do I have more problems or with people because I am trans? So it's still very unclear to me whether there is a lot of anti-Semitism and I am the victim of this, or if I'm more a victim of different things because I am a trans woman.
So, Astrid, tudo bem? Okay, cool. So I think this concept is really interesting when we think about the history of Jews in Latin America. And I'm not a historian. I can't talk with authority on specific times or specific migration patterns, you know, without good textbook authority. But I can definitely say the history of prostitution in Brazil, of Jewish prostitution and human trafficking in Latin America, in Argentina particularly, there's a history of that, of Jews being brought over from Eastern Europe into Latin America to work in prostitution, to do sex work, right? To do forced sex work. And so when we think about the sexualization of the Jewish body, right? And then we think about gender in Judaism, and this is getting into a deeper subject of historically in Europe, Jewish men were not seen as men, they were seen as women. And then what did that make the Jewish women? Were they seen as men, or were they seen as another? And there's, you know, going over very lightly over this subject, there's these questions of genders that have always permeated the Jewish body, right? Especially for being the other. And so I think it's interesting when we think about this concept of the Belle Juive, and as actually an article that Jonathan wrote, which is a beautiful article, you all should read it, about this hyper masculine body being masked by a hyper feminine performance, or, you know, this hyper masculinity being masked by a hyper femininity. And I think that's interesting when we tie that into a body of a trans experience, right? Of travesti body, as we're seen as these hyper masculine hiding behind hyper femininity, right? As especially in Brazil, we have this a big history of modifying our bodies in the trans community, of industrial silicone, of plastic surgery, you know, of exaggerating these attributes, right? In order to be successful doing sex work, because that's what men, cis men, want. They want these big butts. They want. So when we think and we tie it all together, it's complex, and it's hard to think about like my body as being a Jewish woman, as being a trans woman, and thinking about these historical stereotypes and looking at these images. There's an image of Salome with a golden background that I think is beautiful. And I look at it and I see Azucena and I see myself and I see, you know, this image of the beautiful Jewess. And I think, like, how does that tie in with our bodies as trans women, as being hypersexualized as well? You know, because you can't avoid the hypersexualization of a trans. I could be talking about having a coffee and some guy will talk about his dick. So as a woman's experience, right? And then as a trans, a cis woman experience, as a trans woman's experience, it's a constant, right, sexualization that I think ties in so complicated that it's hard. I can't explain it. It's something that I need to think about. I probably will do a doctorate on it at some point. So Jonathan, prepare yourself. I'll hit you up for that. But I think at the end of the day, we can draw a lot from these stereotypes, and we can think about how that informs also the way that we perform gender within the Jewish community and our Jewish bodies outside of the community.
Cool. Thank you.
É interessante que... I'm sorry. É interessante que no Brasil tem um fato curioso, que houve um tráfico enorme de mulheres judias para se tornarem prostitutas no Brasil no início do século XX, criando um imaginário, esse imaginário trazido da Europa de uma mulher judia suja, mais bela. E principalmente no Rio de Janeiro e em São Paulo, a gente tem uma história bem, bem interessante do que a gente chama de as polacas, que eram mulheres judias vindas da Europa para se prostituírem no Brasil. E muitas ascenderam socialmente. Enfim, é uma curiosidade.
It's curious that this also happened in Brazil, where there was, due to human trafficking, a large number of Jewish women were brought to Brazil to work as sex workers. And because of that, this idea, this image of a Jewish beautiful woman but dirty was also created in Brazil, especially in Rio de Janeiro and in São Paulo. And there was even a term in the beginning of the 20th century to refer to these Jewish women who were brought to work as sex workers, which is a Polaca, which is a Jewish, a white Jewish woman who was a sex worker.
Thank you. That is really interesting. And I think in North America, we are just starting to become more aware of this history of human trafficking of Jewish women to Latin America. So on that note, the last question I have before we open it up to questions from the audience, what would you like North American Jews to better understand about Brazilian LGBTQ Jews?
Então, antes de abrir para as perguntas da audiência, minha última pergunta é: o que você gostaria que os americanos aqui nos Estados Unidos soubessem da comunidade LGBTQ judia do Brasil?
Bem, eu acho que nós estamos em um início de um processo de institucionalizar a nossa dignidade dentro da comunidade judaica. E os Estados Unidos têm um tempo longo já de um histórico de inserção de pessoas LGBTs dentro da comunidade judaica, de casamentos entre pessoas do mesmo sexo, de pessoas trans tendo trânsito na comunidade judaica. Eu acho que a gente precisa muito do acúmulo político e institucional de vocês. Como vocês fizeram para continuar dando certo? Eu acho que isso é muito importante, trazer o acúmulo de vocês.
I think that we are just now in Brazil starting to institutionalize and have some institutional dignity within the Jewish community itself. And in Brazil, in the US, I think that you have a longer history of this, and that the LGBTQ community within the Jewish community has more rights, and there's even same-sex marriage is allowed. There's the community in general has more access to more things within the Jewish community in the United States. So I think it would be very important for you to lend us your knowledge, your experience in how you did to get to this point, to get these rights.
Eu penso que nós ainda somos pioneiras no que a gente está fazendo politicamente na comunidade judaica. Sendo assim, a gente está produzindo os primeiros conteúdos bibliográficos. Também precisamos de mais traduções de livros judaicos LGBTs vindos dos Estados Unidos. A gente vai fazer as nossas primeiras exposições judaicas, os nossos primeiros shows judaicos LGBTs, os primeiros festivais de cinema. Então, é tudo muito recente. Então, eu penso que vocês têm muito a contribuir culturalmente, politicamente, religiosamente.
So we're just now working on our first cultural manifestations, our first art manifestations, our first communities, and we still need a lot of bibliography. So we need people to translate the bibliography that you have in the United States. We need people to bring the knowledge, the cultural knowledge, the institutional knowledge, and the political knowledge that you accumulated in the U.S. for us in Brazil. So we need a lot of interchange or exchanges with this community in the United States.
I think Azucena covered a lot of what I was going to say, but I do want to speak of my experience as a North American coming to Brazil and the expectations and the thoughts that I had before coming here. I think what's really important is to understand that certain terms are not universal. For example, the term queer. I came to Brazil with the queer flag. In Brazil, I don't call myself queer, for example, anymore, because aside from getting a lot of discussions and understanding the perspective, that the identity doesn't have the same meaning here, that the identity doesn't have the same potential that, for example, me calling myself travesti has here in this context. And then when I go back to the States, I don't call myself travesti, I call myself a trans woman or trans femme, because these contexts of which we understand identity, I think, are really vital in understanding that the differences that we have in the Brazilian Jewish community or in the Brazilian Jewish LGBTQIA+ community is that we're not necessarily behind here in Brazil, right? It's a different history that led us to this point. And so I saw that in a lot of my early conversations with other Jewish Brazilians, we're so far behind compared to the States. And I think it's a really dangerous place to be, because that puts the States in this position of, we're so far ahead, we're so progressive, when in reality, we know that the United States has very terrible policies in many aspects. And so understanding that, and then when we do create these moments, like Azucena said, of coming together to share experiences. For example, my bibliography, my library is mainly composed of US LGBT queer Jewish authors, because that's the resources we have. But I don't take that as like, that is the word. That is all that counts, right? And so I think it's really important that when folks from the Northern Hemisphere come to Latin America, we keep that mentality. That was something that I definitely had to, like, people smack me around for that, because I come with queer and I come with all this. Oh, well, we have this here. Why don't we have an LGBT synagogue here in Brazil as well? And that's not necessarily the best thing, right? So I guess that's just my two cents on that piece.
Cool, thank you. So that actually leads me to one more question that I'm going to ask before our audience asks questions. So for the audience, if you would like to ask a question, please put your question in the Q&A box, and please, if you can, type it in English. Eu não falo português. So I will be able to understand your question better if it is in English. But so the last question I'm going to ask before turning to audience questions, Lilith, you started to bring this up. If North American LGBT people or North American Jews want to support the Brazilian LGBTQ community, how do we do that in a way that is not imperialist? How do we support what Brazilian LGBT Jews want to do without imposing a North American perspective?
Então, a última pergunta é se a comunidade LGBTQ americana ou a comunidade judaica americana quiserem apoiar a comunidade LGBTQ judaica no Brasil, o que é que eles podem fazer que não seja imperialista? Como é que eles podem ajudar a comunidade de vocês sem ter essa atitude imperialista de que tudo é melhor?
Eu penso que Bem, a gente tem falado muito aqui no Brasil um conceito chamado decolonialidade. Decolonial, I don't know in English. Que é justamente entender uma perspectiva latino-americana ou brasileira e estruturar conceitos, terminologia a partir da nossa realidade, não do que vem especialmente da Europa ou dos Estados Unidos.
We have been talking a lot about decolonization, which is we have to create to structure things in a way that reflects our context in Brazil, reflects our community in Brazil, instead of only importing things from outside. Desculpa, só pode continuar.
Não é nada. Nesse sentido, eu penso que uma vez que não há uma importação de conceitos ou de terminologia simplesmente por importar, mas entendendo as peculiaridades do Brasil, o que a gente tem que melhorar, eu acho que é sempre bem-vindo se há um entendimento mútuo de cada diferença, das diferenças, porque o Brasil tem uma diferença enorme para a comunidade judaica dos Estados Unidos. Então, tendo esse entendimento mútuo, eu acho que é muito bem-vindo os pensadores estadunidenses, a bibliografia estadunidense, mas sempre dentro de um paradigma decolonial, sempre dentro de um paradigma de entendimento da nossa realidade. Desde que seja mútuo, eu acho que é maravilhoso.
Within the understanding that we are seeking to decolonize, that we are seeking to maybe import concepts and policies, but within our context, within the context we live in, we think that as long as there is understanding by both parts that the concepts or the bibliography that we bring from the United States, from North America, has to be adapted, has to fit the context of what we live in Brazil. So we decolonize it. As long as both sides understand this, that there might be changes to fit our context, we welcome all contributions.
Thank you. And Lila?
Yeah, I definitely think when we think about the imperialism, the academic imperialism, what I'm going to say is problematic, the queer imperialism that could occur, these impositions of terms, like, for example, we talked about earlier this idea of trans woman compared to travesti. Trans woman is not a term that is native to Brazil. It's a term that was taken here. And we look at the hygienization, we look at the way that trans woman is like, oh, well, you're a trans woman, so you're okay. You can get a job. You can be treated like a person. And then we look at a travesti, and we see that as a native Brazilian term, and we see that as a term that is associated with so many different things. We can understand that there's a problem there, right? We understand that these terms queer, for example, taken in a Brazilian context, is problematic. So I think one thing that's really important is understanding the lack, not imposing these terms and not assuming that they work here. Because there are spaces that queer does work, and that's because it was adopted by the people who chose to do that. But here we have other terms. We have bicha, we have viado, we have sapatão, we have transviado. We have so many different terms that incorporate so many different identities that are really important, I think. Instead of, for example, I don't translate those terms, even speaking English, because that's something that, you know, that's one way. Learning what the term means, learning what the context means, reading bibliography, you know, in Portuguese that has been translated to English, because if you think about it, most articles, most theses are translated in English. I, as a translator, I also do translation. I'm always translating work from Portuguese to English. So looking for these things, reading these things, and understanding, also taking the position and understanding that it's a privilege that we get to write. I got to write my dissertation in Brazil at Unicamp in English. I am very grateful for that because I don't write Portuguese. I don't write Portuguese formally enough to write a dissertation. But if you think about that, how messed up that is, because then when a Brazilian person will go to the States, they're obligated to write in English. So taking that all into account, keeping that in your mind when providing support, when providing access, because that's the other thing, providing access, calling people to speak at events, paying them, providing this access is super important, right? And if you think about the dollar compared to the real, it's great. So, and you know, the dollar is very strong right now. So these are all small things that we can do, you know? So I think that that's something that we can think about. And especially one more thing, thinking about, for example, if you're gonna do a conference, why is everyone gonna fly down to Brazil? Why don't we fly the people from Brazil to the States? Why don't we provide people with opportunities to get visas that are really hard to get right now because they have to. So these little things that we can do to subvert the system, you know, using the privilege from being from North America, from being from the States, to allow access for other folks here in Brazil and in Latin America in general.
Cool, thank you. So in the 15 minutes or so that we have left, we'll take audience questions. And the first one that I see is for Azucena about your musical career. So Azucena, how has your experience as a Jewish transgender woman shaped your experience in the music industry?
A sua primeira pergunta é para você e é sobre sua carreira musical e a pessoa quer saber como que a sua identidade trans modificou ou deu forma à sua carreira na música.
Olha, é engraçado que a minha carreira musical, ela começa com a minha fase de transição. O nome do nosso primeiro disco se chama Mulher. E foi uma fase eu acho que de uma conquista de quem eu sou. E, portanto, foi uma fase muito inspiradora, onde eu compus muito e onde a gente pôde trazer uma novidade para o mercado fonográfico. Temático, político e artístico.
So I think that my career as a musician started with, along with my, a little bit with my transition. So my first album is called Mulher, Woman, and it was an inspirational experience. And for the phonographic industry, it was an innovation in politics, in work, in various aspects.
As minhas composições, elas não são diretas, existe muita metáfora. Então, o que traz, eu acho, que densidade para a discussão, para uma discussão de quem eu sou, do sujeito que eu sou, do eu lírico que eu quero construir na música. E a gente, quando a gente entrou no mercado da música no Brasil, demos entrevistas praticamente para todos os jornais, para todas as TVs, por conta da novidade do que era ser cantora trans. Não existia uma cantora trans que se manifestasse como trans e dissesse isso abertamente para o público.
So my songs, my lyrics, they are metaphorical, they're not straight. And in this sense, they were innovative. So when we came out with our first album, because of this type of work, because of the lyrics being innovative, because of the lyrics being metaphorical, we got lots of interview because we were a novelty in the market. There were no trans singers, transgender singers in Brazil. And if there were, they were not straight. They were not open about their identity. So we were the first ones to be open about this.
Thank you. And the next question I see is for Lilith. So Lilith, you mentioned earlier that your activism used to emphasize Jewish identity, but now less so. What caused that shift? And would you like to recenter Jewishness again in your activism?
That's a very good question. I think my experience of being Jewish in the States was one of learning how my body was interpreted but in different spaces, dealing with the anti-Semitism that did exist. I was very fortunate that I didn't experience a lot of very aggressive physical anti-Semitism, or just a couple of times in that sense. And I think that was what I understood as the starting point for my activism, the starting point for my my fight to promote equality and to create space, you know, for myself and for other people in similar experiences, right? And as I came to Brazil, that was something that was very present in my life as well. I was very focused on trying to understand, why is there no LGBT synagogues? Why is the community not organized? What is happening here? And as I transitioned and saw the experience of so many other travestis and experiencing a lot of prejudice in this phase of early transition, my shift and my frustration changed in a way. Seeing the inhumanity of not being able to get a job, not being able to walk down the street, was more impactful on how I wanted to shape and focus my activism. I think also becoming more aware of race dynamics and of Black and Indigenous struggles and class dynamics led it to become kind of like a nebulous of what I'm trying to support and how to be supportive in different ways. And currently, in terms of my activism and why I participate, for example, with Azucena in these groups and why I think it's important, is because it is very difficult to find space. And I early on, I was like, my Jewish community is my friend Beth, is my Jews back home, is all of these specific things that I did not rely on the Jewish community here in Brazil for. So I'm like, I'm good. But I see so many other Jews here in Brazil, Black Jews, Indigenous Jews, trans Jews, who suffer in such a way. So I want to be able to create that space. And given the privilege that I can go into a space and I'm invited to do talks and I'm invited, and I am the academic that has studied LGBT Jews in Brazil, that is something that I do try to also use in my activism, because it's a privilege, an enormous privilege to be given that. And see how I can also use that to influence other discussions. So maybe they call me to talk about LGBT Jew issues in a Jewish space, and that I'm able to bring in, let's talk about Black trans issues. Let's talk about sex work. Let's talk about class. Let's talk about how the fact that there's not a single Black person in this space besides the people who are working in service positions. So I try to do that. I'm not perfect. I'm not a person who is, you know, perfect. Well, I'm pretty perfect, but I think that allowing myself these moments and seeing that, how do we subvert that, I think is what I'm trying to shift a little bit to as well.
Thank you. So I think what will be our last question, and I think it's a very good question to end on. A lot of our conversation has focused on challenges, but what are some of the successes for the Jewish trans community that you are both most proud of, and how do you celebrate or honor those successes?
Então, a última pergunta é, a gente conversou muito sobre os desafios que a comunidade enfrenta, mas e os sucessos? Quais são os sucessos que vocês veem, que vocês conseguiram? Quais são as vitórias que vocês conseguiram até hoje? E como é que vocês celebram essas vitórias, esses sucessos?
Bem, eu acho que nunca... Como nunca a gente está conseguindo ocupar os espaços que a gente quer. Existe uma ocupação tímida, mas a gente está ocupando, isso é histórico. E a gente tem apoio de importantes rabinos, a gente tem apoio hoje de importantes instituições, de importantes acadêmicos. E existe uma ocupação real de judeus, LGBTs em todos os espectros da comunidade hoje. É inevitável, porque é uma conquista, eu acho que social, que se confunde com a conquista dos judeus LGBTs da comunidade judaica.
Well, I think that one of the victories is that we are starting to occupy spaces everywhere. Our occupation is shy, but it's historical, and we have had the support of rabbis, institutions, academics, politicians, and so you start to see many of us in many different places in society in Brazil now.
Eu participo da primeira instituição política da comunidade, que a Lilith comentou, que é o INENI, que é um grupo da Federação Israelita de São Paulo. Então, é a primeira comissão que foi criada para cuidar das demandas de judeus LGBTs no âmbito psicológico, no âmbito cultural, no âmbito religioso. Então, isso é um marco extremamente importante para a nossa comunidade.
I am part of, for example, the first political group, the first group that whose objective is to take care of the demands and rights of the LGBTQ Jewish community in Brazil. So I am very proud of being part of this group. And this is a very important group because it will take care of the things that our community needs, the demands and the rights that we need to achieve.
E as nossas comemorações hoje, elas estão muito relacionadas à nossa reunião, à forma com que a gente se reúne. Então, a gente tem construído Shabbatot, que são Shabbats, Shabbat no plural, os nossos Shabbatot. A gente tem feito interações, a gente tem pensado em revistas, em periódicos. Então, as ideias são muitas, a gente tem comemorado com as nossas festas, porque mais do que construir, é construir em comunidade. E isso é ser judeu, a construção em comunidade.
And as far as celebration goes, we organize Shabbatot, so Shabbat in the plural, that's what Asu taught me. And it's what I think is important is that we create within a community, we do things in community, like the Shabbatot, because that's what I think being Jewish means, one of the things of that being Jewish means, that you create in a community, you work as a community.
Thank you. And Lilith, do you want to give a thought on this before we wrap?
Sure. I think that I personally, I am very pleased to have people that I can invite to do Shabbat. I took a time where I was not doing any Shabbat, I was not doing anything related to Jewish community here in Brazil. And I'm lucky I have Jewish friends in the States that I'm able now, because we're in the pandemic, there's this strange good thing that happened that we're able to go into Zoom and do religious things on Zoom. And so, for example, I was able to participate in Rosh Hashanah with my good friend in New York, which we haven't done in ever, or a very long time. Maybe we did it one time, you know? So having these moments with other trans Jews and talking about these things and getting to know Azucena as well, like here in Brazil, is really beautiful for me. And it's really something that I never thought I would have living in Brazil. And I was like, no, okay, I'll have just my amigas travestis, just my travestis friends, and, you know, the occasional cis person here and there. But a Jewish trans woman and Jewish trans people and LGBT people that were in the same political and social and dynamic that I was looking for was something that I'm really happy about. And I celebrate that, even though I'm a very, you know, a bad Jew. I don't do a lot of religious things. I do like these moments, and I do appreciate Azucena always calling me to Shabbat and to all these things, you know? So it's one of those things that I think is beautiful from this moment that we are living right now, this year.
Well, thank you. So to our audience, thank you so much for attending and for your questions. Thank you again to Azucena, Lilith, Simone, and Diana, and have a wonderful night, everybody. Bye, Latov.